Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. We started yesterday with Hillary Clinton announcing that she would not make a run again for president in 2020. Now we see that Michael Bloomberg, of course, the former New York City mayor, billionaire, said he will not run for president in 2020 as well.
I knew it. I don't get it. I don't think Bloomberg has ever quite gotten it. He would be a terrific candidate. But here's what he doesn't want. He doesn't want rejection. That's clear. So what happens is they raise it. They talk to people. This is not the first time. So Bloomberg wants to be coronated. You don't coronate people. You wait until they put themselves forward, and then they fight for it, and either they win or they don't win. So he finds all the reasons not to run. He's a smart man. His chances are not that good. Nobody's chances are that good, but his were better than most, and he pulls out and he doesn't do it. So that's Bloomberg. I expected it. I think basically he was chicken.
Let's stick with New York for a moment. You had that discussion with Governor Cuomo about the budget and the number that lawmakers will use to decide what revenue is coming in. The comptroller now, Thomas DiNapoli, submitted his revenue forecast yesterday for the next 2 years. It's $190 million higher than estimated by the governor, but below the number lawmakers had sought. So that's different than what we were thinking.
Yeah, usually, and I got that wrong, usually the comptroller is the most conservative of all. The reason for that is he's got to live with the results. And if he goes too high and they don't make that number, then he's held responsible. So it is a little bit surprising to see him coming a little bit over the governor and a little bit under the legislature. The legislature always goes high. We know that. It is in the governor's interest, and it always has been, to go low so that they don't get caught with their fiscal pants down either. So he comes in with this number. I'm sure that it will be viewed as a good compromise. Let's see what happens.
Is there any strategy here on the governor's part? He told you he thought the comptroller would come in with a lower number than him.
There's a potential here for a strategy on the comptroller's part. Tom DiNapoli, a man I know of great integrity, who may have wanted to satisfy his two major constituencies. Look, this governor has never been particularly nice to Tom DiNapoli, that's for sure. And I've been critical of the governor for that. There was no reason for some of the attacks. So the governor has done his thing. DiNapoli has done his thing. He was going to end up here anyway, somewhere between the governor, who always goes low, and the legislature, who wants to spend going high, especially when you have two houses run by the Democrats, something that has always scared the wits out of Andrew Cuomo. A lot of people thought that's why he was helping the Republicans stay in power all these years.
As the investigations expand into the president in Washington, we see New York state regulators issuing an expansive subpoena, Alan, to the Trump Organization's longtime insurance broker. This is first step, according to the New York Times, in an investigation of insurance policies and claims involving President Trump's family business.
Well, yes, and here's the potential for criminal behavior, I believe. What do I know? But if you are inflating what something is worth, you're basically lying to the insurance companies, and that could have some very serious consequences. The kudos on this one go to none other than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, because she asked the question. Cohen answered, yes, he has inflated his properties for purposes of insurance.
Meanwhile, I see 64% of Americans believe the president committed crimes before he got to the White House, while they're more divided. 45 say yes, 43 no, on the question of whether he committed crimes during his presidency.
Ah, that's interesting. There's a huge number who think before, and then there is a substantial number. I mean, would you want 45% of the people saying if you were the president of the United States, they thought while you were president? Sure, it's evenly split. But yes, I think those numbers follow the people who are supporting the president. If you take a look, you see pro-Trump supporters are in the 40s. So what's interesting is that many of those people obviously said they thought he had been doing illegal things before he was president. That's interesting.
Let's go over to North Korea, which is rebuilding a key missile test facility. This is according to analysts, Alan.
Yep, they're rebuilding it now. You know, when the president announced that he was going to do all of this, people like Malcolm Nance and others, our advisor on this kind of thing, just laughed and said, you know, these people do this. They always have. And all of the people who negotiated with the North Koreans said the same thing at the time. This guy said, I'm the head of the Art of the Deal group, and I'm going to go over there, just me and him. And I love him, and he loves, that's the word, me. And now what we see is this brutal dictator is doing what he always has done and what his family has always done. He says one thing, he does another. Well, congratulations, Mr. President. The Art of the Deal didn't work again.
didn't apparently work with trying to get security clearance for his daughter Ivanka either, Alan.
Well, she went on the television and she told people, no, he had nothing to do with it. Now it turns out he did have something to do with it. It would be interesting to know where the leak comes from. McGahn is out as the counsel. Kelly's out as the chief of staff. Both were unavailable, apparently, for comment. Really? Well, that information came from somewhere.
Finally, Alan, put on your Medical Monday hat for a moment. The FDA has approved a drug derived from ketamine for what they call untreatable depression.
Well, it's big news. It's all over the place. The testing by the FDA is one thing. But then, when millions of people use it, or hundreds of thousands of people use it, that's when you always find out what went wrong and what is wrong. You know, you can name any drug, and there are always side effects. So we'll just see, as this gets out into the general population, what the result will be. Hey, depression is a very serious issue. And if you have a drug that will treat it, with those people who haven't been able to be treated before, treatment resistant, it could be a very good thing. On the other hand, the proof is in the pudding.
Political Observer Alan Chartok with us. Thanks, Alan.
And you are welcome, David, and thank you for getting up on this cold morning. 12 degrees outside my house.